Hello and welcome to the True Blue LA podcast. I'm Jacob Birch. With me with a special short opening day, way too much news in 24 hours episode is Eric Steven.
Remember when we thought, what if the Dodgers traded for Mookie Betts and he never played for them?
Yeah. There's you and I were joking right before we went on. You and I agreed to this episode on Monday thinking, it'll be opening day. It'll be a nice quick episode. Game recaps don't take that long. And then we got a season's worth of news in less than 24 hours, it felt like. I guess exactly 24 hours, probably.
I would say so Mookie Betts was, they traded for him in February. And, like, since then, there hasn't been anywhere close to this level of total news that we've had in the last 48 hours. So, like, yeah, good times.
So we're going to talk about everything, but only a little bit. We are going to keep it a short episode. We promised that to me. We promised that to my wife. We promised that to our editor. So we're going to do that. Next week, on Monday, we'll do a full episode. We'll really tease these things apart, but we're going to talk contracts. We're going to talk opening day. We're going to talk weird new playoffs. We're going to talk about sad Kershaw news. We're going to talk all about that after this.
This podcast is sponsored by Cloud Optimizer.
As a business owner or IT manager, are your cloud investment costs going up and you don't know why? It's time for Cloud Optimizer. As you migrate your business to the cloud, what you're spending and why you're spending it can get a little hazy. But Cloud Optimizer clears up the mystery and puts the cloud to work for you. Cloud Optimizer starts by analyzing usage patterns, right-sizing resources, leveraging discounts you may not be aware of, implementing automation, and much more. And by reducing unnecessary expenses and maximizing performance, Cloud Optimizer guarantees you a savings of 5 times what you spend for their service. As you utilize cloud-based services more and more, you don't have to lose sight or control of your spend. You can stay agile, streamline your costs, and optimize your performance, plus save significant money with Cloud Optimizer.
Make the cloud work for you with Cloud Optimizer. Get a free assessment and find out how much you can save by going to cloudoptimizer.com. Go to cloudoptimizer.com for your free assessment. That's cloudoptimizer.com.
So where do you want to start?
Okay, so let's go into somewhat chronological order. You know, like you said, we were planning for like, hey, this week is like opening day week, right? And the Dodgers had the special. They were one of two games on this Thursday, and the rest of the league's opening up on Friday. So it was kind of like on a pedestal of sorts. Like, you got Nationals, Yankees first, and then Dodgers, Giants second. And they're, like, the only thing on. It's only ESPN. So, so everything's sort of geared toward that, right? Like, leading into that. And then, I guess Tuesday night was the last exhibition game for the Dodgers, and Mookie Betts didn't play that one, and DeRozan, we're just giving him an extra day. Well, it turns out the reason he didn't play is because he was taking his physical, because he signed a contract extension with the Dodgers, which was official on Wednesday. Now, Jacob, I know you've seen like the details of the deal, but what can you before I say what it was? Can you tell me your initial reaction when you saw like either the length or the total amount of the deal?
So it was weird because I am taking care of my kid or responsible for the kid during night hours right now. My wife and I are sleeping in shifts. So I woke up at 4, I think, to our friend Craig text saying something like Kershaw wanted to play for your daughter for a lot, or it's Kershaw. Mookie wanted to play for your daughter. I'm getting ahead of my news. For a way more longer, and I'm like, what? Oh no. And I went to Twitter for the first time in a while. I was not as surprised by the length as much after the Bryce Harper deal, after the I think I was surprised it happened this early with all of the uncertainty. That was surprising to me. I was excited. I think I've mentioned on there, I have a bet with a Boston Red Sox fan friend of mine who's a fan of the Red Sox, for a fairly expensive bottle of liquor if Mookie re-signed with the Dodgers. So this was really exciting for me for multiple reasons. But no, that's a lot of money, but it's for arguably, the second best player in baseball. So I don't know. It kind of seemed like a completely fair deal for both sides, which is often unusual.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think it's still like a sticker shock to me. So it was 12 years, $365 million, which is fun to say out loud, and it starts next year. So he's with the Dodgers, or the contract runs through 2032, which is an insane like year to think about. Like
that was definitely when you put it in context. I'm like, oh wow.
Yeah. And then another thing, because there's a couple things there. One that seems so far off, and that implies that 2020 will actually end at some point. But then also, then you're like, wait, how old am I going to be in 2030? Oh no! Like, and so you do all that. There's going to be, I'll have something up on the site, but so it's $365 million. I love like little weird details. But so $65 million of it is a signing bonus, but it is like it's like spread out over forever. So it's a technical thing. It's not considered salary. It's a bonus, and you're taxed like where you live. And Mookie Betts lives in Nashville. There's no state income tax in Tennessee, similar to Clayton Kershaw, who lives in Texas. So a lot of his deal was a technical signing bonus, even though it's spread over the life of the contract. So you save a little bit there. But it's also like, I guess this never really came up as like a concern before this year, but it's like protection against another pandemic. So it's like less money that's salary that could be prorated, like if they have another shortened season next year or something like that. But there's like also $115 million of it is deferred. I believe the AP report says the Mookie Betts will be getting paid through, some form annually, either in deferred money or like signing bonus money through 2044 when he turns 52. So, hey, good for him, man.
Yeah.
I think that I believe Ken Rosenthal had this, players union, sort of put all that into like present day value. And so they value the contract as the equivalent of a straightforward 12 year, like I think it's $306 million, which is about $25.5 million a year. I think I haven't seen the final calculation on that, but that's so if you think about it from like a competitive balance tax, right? You're paying someone like $30 million a year on nominal average, but like for a luxury tax, it counts as like 25-ish, 25.5 probably. So like that's a little bit of a good move, and then Mookie gets a little bit extra because a lot of it is in a signing bonus. So it's, he saves a little that way. He loses money on the deferral, obviously, as opposed to just getting the money straight up like now or in future years. But that's all part of the thing. But yeah, I guess I was surprised only because, given how acrimonious the labor negotiations were in starting the season up, you figured like this winter's going to be brutal, but it's mostly going to be brutal for most guys. Like you knew like Mookie Betts was going to get paid somehow, but like in my head I was thinking maybe it's like a 7-year deal or like an 8, you know what I mean? Like it seems like everyone's like risk averse right now, or like a lot of owners are. They're like, "Well, this was bad, right? Like we actually faced a year where we didn't make like a bajillion dollars, like so they can't handle it." So I don't want to like discount that it's a huge like loss, like just a relative like to normal years, but like yeah, it's just weird. But yeah, it sounds like Betts really likes it so far here, and then the other thing is too, he signed it before he played like his first game.
Mm-hmm.
And so like that's amazing, like given like how relatively little time he's been with the team. He already made a huge impression on them in spring training, but also he was talking about how much how everyone in the organization is like committed to winning, and it's he just likes the culture and he's part of that culture now. And like and also the Dodgers were in a spot where they're like flexible enough to like handle, they should be able to handle this kind of a deal almost no matter what anyway, because they're the big market team and stuff. But they don't, like, right now in 2022, the only guaranteed deals on the books are Betts, Max Muncy, AJ Pollock, and oh god, I'm already forgetting. David Price. No, David Price. Yeah, David Price. And then in 2023, it's only AJ Pollock's player option and Mookie Betts. There's ARB guys and stuff who will get paid, like Cody Bellinger and Walker Buehler by then and stuff. But to have that little, like, of, you know, long term, like, guaranteed money on the books right now is puts them in a very good position, at least they always said, like Andrew Friedman over the years, they want to be able to strike when necessary to make, like, an impact move. And this is obviously as big of an impact move as you're going to make, like, unless, like, Mike Trout became available, you know, like, and so, like, to have him available for trade A to get him, and then to him be willing to sign, and you don't even have to go through the free agent process, like, honestly, like, it's as good of a situation as they could possibly have. So it's great.
Yeah, I was, I thought the press conference was mostly sort of non-questions and non-answers, but one thing I did find interesting is that Friedman did mention that if this was a two-year contract and, you know, the high AAV range they were looking at, maybe they wouldn't have done it, which is so opposite of what the Dodgers kind of front office MO has been. They've always said they would love to give one of those silly, like, two-year $100 million deals or whatever. But he mentioned that even with in the face of COVID, it's a 12-year deal that they felt that their sort of risk was in an odd way mitigated to an effect, even though you're sort of taking on risk on the back end of the deals. So I thought that was whenever he gives, like, a very sort of front office inside baseball answer like that, I always find it really fascinating.
Well, and you think about it too, like the TV deal runs through, I believe, 2038. So, like, even all of this contract is still under that, like, TV deal that's still pretty industry standard in terms of, like, local TV revenue for teams. So, like, that, like, that's where it sort of insulates them in terms of, like, long-term risk. And so I get it. And also, if you look at the salaries, the first 2 years, next year and 2022, it's relatively low, $17.5 million salary, whereas the other years are, like, 25 and then 30 and up. So, like, yeah, it's structured. So you can see why maybe you want to save a little now, because there's A, uncertainty, but also keeping your options open. But, like, so it helps out long and short term, I think.
So should we move on? Obviously, yeah. Like I mentioned, we'll be talking about all of these news next week in fuller detail. You'll probably come up with a clever Dodgers rewind that somehow reflects all of this. Maybe Dustin May, maybe, you know, think about that.
Wait, we can rewind a current player? Is that a good?
You know what
okay.
I mean.
Yeah, I gotcha.
And we'll have questions from Greg and all that. But let's move on. So setting the stage for opening day, we wake up today. We're excited. It's going to be this really deep offense. Clayton Kershaw is going to be starting. But the monkey's paw curled. I joked with you in a text that somebody wished that Dustin May made the opening day roster, and the paw curled. So...
Yeah. So the opening day rosters were due Thursday morning at 9:00, and the first, like, it wasn't, I guess, a surprise. Well, it's a little bit of a surprise. Like, they were sort of piggybacking Dustin May with Walker Buehler, and because Walker Buehler is not as stretched out as everybody else, and so the thought was he could at least back up Buehler, but also they're carrying so many pitchers, he could be a long man if needed. But then he was optioned, like, so he's not even on the roster. It's like, oh, okay. It made room for Terrence Gore. They did add him as the speedster, as we talked about. Mm-hmm. But, like, so that was the thing on, you know, earlier Thursday. Like, wow, okay, Dustin May didn't make the team. That's interesting, but, like, understandable. And then you find out, like, you know, Walker Buehler, he pitched 4 innings on Wednesday in a simulated game, so he could probably go 5 in his start, and that's fine. And they do have 11 relievers,
yeah.
So like you could find a way to pick up those innings, I think. So you could see what in a normal situation, but then we find out, like, I want to say it's probably 4 hours before the game, they, you know, just the news went out. Clayton Kershaw, back stiffness, he's on the injured list. He won't start tonight. Dustin May starting, like, so he's back. And then you're like, oh, wait. So, yeah. So that was like a big scramble. I guess what happened was Clayton Kershaw, while working out in the weight room Tuesday, felt something in his back. And they were, he felt a little bit better Wednesday. And Dustin May was supposed to also pitch a simulated game along with Buehler on Wednesday, but they held him back just in case. And then by Thursday, this morning, I guess Kershaw was like, getting a little better, but the training staff's like, no, there's really no point to pitch him right now. Can't really do it. So put him on the DL, make it backdated 3 days. Oh, see, God, yeah, I gotta get used to that. It's bad. It's forced to happen. Yeah, but like, Kershaw could still pitch in that Arizona series next weekend if everything goes right. Obviously, but you know, back injuries, they never do. Like, you know, you can never really know. He's missed time on, I think, 3 different occasions with the back injury, and they were all like, the shortest one was like 3 weeks. So just take that with a grain of salt. But that's where they're at now. So Dustin May, all of a sudden, surprise, like, you're starting opening day, first rookie since Fernando, no big deal. And it's actually like, May pitched last year, so like, he wasn't like, you know, he's not that green under the years, but this was his 5th major league start, like, so really still young. He's only 22. He pitched pretty well, like, his stuff was great. He hit 100 on one of the pitches. His stuff was moving. He allowed, like, I think 7 singles, but 3 of them were in the infield, so like, it was fine. Like, he only gave up a run, and then like, the bullpen was great. Like, like you said, this week has been like a constant misdirection. All week has been, oh, it's going to be opening day, that's all I'm thinking about. And then, oh, this Mookie contract. So all of a sudden you're like, oh, Mookie's first game as a Dodger, it's going to be even bigger because it's his first game of like forever. And you're thinking about that, and then, oh, wait, Kershaw's injured, and then, like, and then also this game, like, all Dodgers-Giants games are, like, always close into, like, the 7th inning. And so, and this one was, it was 1-1 in the 7th, and then the Dodgers just sort of started grinding away and, like, left the poor Giants relievers in the dust. Did you get to watch any of it?
So I listened to the first few innings, and then I was able to find a feed of ESPN to watch. Surely on the up and up, I'm positive.
No question.
Charlie Steiner was doing Charlie Steiner things. Like, Anyways, lots of talking about like COVID and stuff. Not a lot of play by play. So it was frustrating for a bit. But yeah, I was able to watch most of it. You know, the team looks as stacked as we've talked about.
Yeah.
Corey Seager hitting doubles, as you thought. Kike Hernandez looking good. Hopefully, once he can keep that up.
Kike Hernandez, at this moment, is on pace for 810 RBIs this season.
Only 60 home runs. That's strange after one game.
I did the 162. he's only on pace. He's only on pace for 300 RBIs. That's terrible.
What a hack!
I had one opportunity to do the dumbest joke in the world, and I screwed it up. Oh goodness, 2020 is terrible.
Speaking of 2020 and dumbest things possible, we want to talk about this playoff structure.
Yeah. First, I just before we get to that. So it looked for a little bit like it was going to be this close game, and then the go-ahead run was scored by Mookie Betts on a ground out to second with the infield in. He was on third. He's really fast. Like, you forget about that sometimes because he's a really good hitter.
I was on fire. I was prepping my show notes, apparently. It was a little weird seeing Max Muncy hit leadoff when you have Mookie Betts on your team.
Okay. That was another. Speaking of misdirection, so Mookie Betts I looked this up because I had expected him to bat leadoff. He batted leadoff every spring game, every exhibition game in the summer camp. There's only 3. But, like, Dave Roberts in the spring talked about he's most comfortable batting leadoff. With the Red Sox, Mookie Betts batted leadoff in 72% of his starts. And, like, by far his most often position. And then the lineup comes out today and Mookie Betts is hitting second. But what they're with Muncy first, who also Muncy never batted leadoff, but like you know, traditional like leadoff roles are, oh, Muncy doesn't steal bases. Why is he? You know that that's old school. I don't care as much about that. But so what they did, is they alternated left and right, like all the way down through the eighth spot. They have two right-handed catchers, and like it, obviously it's an odd number, so you're never going to go all the way through like that. But and I think that's what they're going to do, at least at the top, for a while. The Giants especially, like, so Johnny Cueto started today. I believe Samardzija is going to start tomorrow. They've been really cagey about who their pitchers are, but I think they're going to use so many relievers that Dave Roberts is like, we just want to not give them a chance to have, like, a bunch of lefties in a row, like, at any point. So, like, I think that's that was the sort of the reasoning around it, and Roberts said as much before the game. But, yeah, so it was weird, but like I said, that stuff doesn't tend to matter a whole lot. It was just funny, like, seeing Betts bat lead
just
off
weird,
so often.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden he's batting second.
It's,
so, yeah.
And especially, like I said, I know it's old school, but Max Muncy in that old school vein, not you wouldn't look at him and go, that's a leadoff guy right there.
No, right, exactly. Oh, God. And so, okay, so the other thing that's this whole season is so weird, like, you know, they negotiated for a few months on trying to figure out, like, the structure of the season. And then the players and the owners couldn't agree, so they said, oh, we're just going to use what we agreed to in March. And then like, don't worry, the health and safety stuff, we're pretty much down the road on that. And then they, like, scrambled to, like, get that finished over the last, like, week. And, like, oh, yeah, this is really important. We should do this. And then so they get, like, the structure and the summer camps open. And then, like, the season, like, is upon us. And, like, yesterday, I believe, the news broke where, hey, the union and the owners are still talking about, like, changing the playoff system this year. What? Like, how? And they're like, well, they have to get it done, like, before opening, like, the first pitch on Thursday night. It's like, okay. And they did. Like, so they're moving from.
This is the start extra innings with a man on second of playoff systems.
Yeah. So it's they're starting from. It's normally 10 teams, 5 in each league. Now it's going to be 16 teams.
It's frustrating to me. I'm going to let you collect your thoughts and just say that one of the things I loved about baseball was how important and long the regular season was. And this is really frustrating in regard. I did like the expansion of the wild card and the one game playoff. I actually think we've talked about this a lot. It elevates the status of division winners, which I actually think is really, really cool. And I think it was a really smart way to do it. It gets you a really exciting one game series. Really, really neat. Was really happy to have them cut it off at that. I really hope this alongside starting runner on second don't stick. I really hope these are temporary measures. I have a feeling when we have playoffs again, it's going to be more than 10 teams. I'm hoping it's not 16. It's just egregious. Like,
so yeah, I think, like, they have to negotiate to have it again next year. Right. So you can't just stay, like, there's the fear, same with the DH, where once it's here, it's not leaving. Yeah. Right. Like, so that, but, like, procedurally, you can't just unilaterally do that. But I think also, so the reason they're doing it is money, simply.
Yes, I was about to say, who's going to see? Like, the problem is the people negotiating on the table are players and owners. And maybe the players would fight a little bit for it because, you know, they want the competitive teams to win. They want to feel it's earned. But in the end, it's sort of an easy bargaining chip to give up, I feel like.
Yes, sort of. And, like, what it is so back in the negotiation process when they were trying to figure out the season and they were talking about adding all these things, and one of the things the owners offered to the players was a guarantee of $25 million for the postseason pool. And the normal postseason pool is completely derived from a percentage of gate receipts from all the playoff games. It's actually like the first it's the first three games of a five-game series. It's the first four games of a seven-game series. The reason they don't make it the entire series is because it incentivizes, like, keeping the series going longer to increase money. And, like, you don't want to have that on the up and up. So
has that ever happened?
Yeah, never.
Yeah.
So, but the thing is, there's not going to be fans in the stands. Like, there might be, like, some small semblance of them, but, like, that postseason pool is going to be nothing, right? Mm-hmm. So, Like last year's postseason pool, it's split among like all the teams. The winners obviously get a bigger share, but last year was $81 million. So like that's what they're going off of. Like to go from $81 million to nothing, it's not everyone. It's only the playoff teams. But like that's a huge like you know the players are looking at it from like the total pie, right? And so they as part of the negotiations, they were going to get $25 million. They couldn't agree, so they get nothing. But then this, I think the reports on this are the players are going to get guaranteed $50 million. The structure, I think, is still the same where it's still based on gate receipts. But then if it doesn't reach, you know, 50, they're going to get $50 million. So that's better than, like, nothing. And like, ESPN is televised. So this creates a first round now, basically the wild card round. Instead of like two wild card games, and it's eight best of three series, four in each league. The way the seeding is going to work is there's the three division winners are seeded 1 through 3 by record. The 3 second place teams are seeded 4 through 6 by record. And then the two teams with the best record in each league are 7 and 8. So you could, in theory, get a situation where it would be really hard to do this. I think it's easier with like if there's three good teams in a division, but like you could have like the seventh seed facing like a two seed and having a better record than them than a division winner, like, you know, some weird way. Like that's probably rare, but like, but the more egregious thing is that it all but guarantees like under 500 teams making the playoffs. Right now you have, it's going to be 16 out of 30. That's over half. It's, you don't need to do the math. You're going to get under 500 teams a lot. Last year, the Rangers were 78 and 84. They would have made it in this scenario. Mm-hmm. That's terrible. And so, yeah. So, the other thing is it's best of three, that first round, no travel days, and every game is at the home, as at the higher seed. So like if you're a 5 through 8, seed, then you don't get any home games unless you win that round, and then you move on to the normal like division series round.
So the incentive to have a great record is you get to play in front of all your enduring fans, right? Is that the idea?
Right. Yeah. So it's all weird. Like, and
I think
so
that's
I looked,
most
like,
frustrating. And John Weissman tweeted about this a little bit. It's really frustrating that the division winners have almost no advantage over a 500 team. Outside of the home field thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Like in a normal year when there's fans, there is an advantage probably. I guess unless...
And it's not as long of a season. So I'm not... our current situation, I'm not going to... If this was the system in a 162-game season, I would be losing it. The state we are in now, whatever. I'll, you know, roll with the punches.
This is the giant Petri dish year where you're just like...
Yep.
Yeah, let's see if this works, whatever. And then, so Fangraphs and being awesome, they have already updated their playoff odds with the new rules. And the Dodgers, they were already like over 90% to make the playoffs. Now they are 95% to make the playoffs. So like under the new system. But yeah, it's like, it really helps a team like the Angels, like really, because they were like on the periphery of like, if things broke right, they could have been one of the wild card teams in like the normal regular playoff format we're used to. But like now I think they are they're 57% to make the playoffs under this, because they're like good enough to be a top eight, right? Like so so it's weird. And like who knows. And the other concern too is like a lot during the negotiations, MLB was pretty strict on, look, we don't want to, because the players are like, let's just play more games and extend it into November and December or whatever. And MLB is like, no, we can't play later because like we're worried that like the coronavirus is like, or like I think they kept saying like the second wave. It's like, well, the first wave hasn't died, but like they kept saying like, we don't want to, you know, push it too far because then you're really, you know, you're dealing with this. And I guess the current format, because like a normal situation, the wild card would be one Tuesday and one Wednesday on a season that ended on Sunday. And then the division series would start Thursday and Friday. So the way this is going to work is, I believe they're going to probably stagger it by league, but the The two wild, the eight wild card rounds will be Tuesday to Friday of that first playoff week, and then they're going to like go right into the division series. And Manfred said it's not really, they're still going to end the World Series like at the same time. I would imagine it might be affected by like a day or two, or maybe they just cut one of the travel days or something. But yeah, so like it doesn't materially affect it like in that regard. But yeah, this is a way to for both sides to like get a little extra money. And that's kind of all it is. So yeah, this is a lot has happened in like, like 3 days, or it's really 2 days, but like we recorded Monday. So like, yeah, what a weird time.
So yeah, we'll have more notes on all of that. We'll have more games, obviously we'll be able to talk to those. Maybe a good time to do some reader questions. We'll see. We haven't done that in a while because what the heck were they going to ask about? So,
yeah, exactly. Also, okay, just just to keep a streak going, I will ask you, Kike Hernandez, four hits, five RBIs. He hit a home run in this one. There's only one other Dodger who had four hits and five RBIs, at least those numbers, on opening day. Can you name him?
Was it the O-Dog?
No.
Cycle thought, you know, I went with it. Nope, I got nothing. Tapping out. Duke Snider. I don't know.
Raul Mondesi, 1999.
He would have been in my top 30 names I would have shouted at, probably.
One of the great games ever. Two late home runs, including the walk-off to beat the Diamondbacks. So he drove in six. What a game.
What year was that?
99.
Okay.
So, yeah, this is our little quickie opening day Mookie Betts extension podcast. We'll be back with you next week, but thanks for listening, everybody. I'm sure we'll have a lot to talk about in a few days.
See you then.